I want to say thank you to Ron and Doug for filling in last week, the ladies and the teens who went to the castle. We had an amazing time. God was so present and did some deep work and during our time there, and I'm just thankful for strong men who pick it up, you know, while we're gone and while we're here too. I drove in the parking lot today, and Rich was out there repairing one of the flags, and I'm like, thank you, God, for Rich and Connie. I'm just grateful for people who see something they need doing and don't have to be asked. They go, oh, I can do that, you know. So this month we're talking about AD and how our lives changed after Jesus' resurrection and death and resurrection. I listened to Ron's message and enjoyed it so much. And I loved the eclipse on Monday. I will just say I loved it. I just enjoyed it so much. But the thing that struck me the most about it was after the total eclipse, how little light it takes to dispel darkness. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that's our spiritual message here out of this eclipse. It takes very little light to dispel darkness. I mean, to go from night and one little ray coming around that moon, and you go, wow, where'd all the light come from? And you can still see with your glasses that the sun is mostly covered. I just was really touched by that. And I think there's a lot in there we could probably think about and meditate on. And I'm going to pause one moment. Y'all don't want to hear that. And I don't want to be dripping all day either. Okay, so the first point today, as I said, we're going to be talking about is joy after grief. Today, it's joy during grief, right? I mean, if God does a miracle and raises Dave up, we will celebrate like nobody else can, you know? But we're also sad that he's going through this right now. We're grieving that he's going through this. And this first passage from John 16 is where Jesus is telling his disciples, you're going to be sad when I leave. You're going to grieve, okay? He says, let me make it quite clear. I'm reading from the Passion Translation today. Let me make it quite clear. You will weep and be overcome with grief over what happens to me. The unbelieving world will be happy while you will be filled with sorrow. But know this, your sadness will turn into joy when you see me again. Just like a woman giving birth experiences intense labor pains in delivering her baby, yet after the child is born, she quickly forgets what she went through. I can testify to that. Because of the overwhelming joy of knowing that a new baby has been born into the world, so will you also pass through a time of intense sorrow when I am taken from you. I am so glad. I'm going to pause there. I am so glad Jesus didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't say, it's going to be fine, really. You're all good. It's going to be okay. He said, it's going to hurt like you know what. It's going to hurt. Intense sorrow. That's a deep, like a groaning sorrow inside, right? But then he says in verse 23, for here is eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead, you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. Okay, your joy will have no limits. I love that Jesus prepared them for what was to come. He's like, it's going to hurt. You're going to be sad. You're going to grieve. It's going to be intense. But then I find it amazing that he says, my death will hurt more than you can imagine, but it's really like a birth. What? How could he compare his death to a birth? That's what he did. And I think he was saying, basically, after this, your lives will radically change. Your lives will radically change. Then you'll be able to go to the Father directly, and at that point, your joy will have no limits. Now, most of us think of joy this way. Would you like a drink of joy? It's good, right? That's how most of us think of joy. But when Jesus says your joy will have no limits, it's more like this. Where's the sound? Joy without limits. That's what joy without limits looks like, right? That's what it looks like, sounds like, feels like. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? I mean, it's inspiring, isn't it, to go there? It's inspiring to hear the sound crashing. And when Jesus talks about joy having no limits, that's what he's referring to. He's not referring to a cup of joy. He's not. He's referring to unlimited joy. The word for joy in the Greek is chara or charis, and it means gladness or delight. It's not happy slappy. It's not that. We tend to think of it that way, but it's not that at all. It's not like, oh, joy is so nice. It's not that. Because how could he say you're going to grieve? You're going to grieve like you've never grieved before, but once you see me again, you're going to have joy that has no limits. This has limits. This runs out. It's not based on circumstance. It's to be filled to the overflowing. And then I think this goes right into it. Joy in new beginnings, point number two. Joy in new beginnings. In Luke 24, 50 through 52, says Jesus led his disciples out to Bethany. He lifted his hands over them and blessed them in his love. If Dave were here, that's what he would be doing. He would be lifting his hands and blessing you in his love. And he would probably be carrying that sign again that he made, right? While he was still speaking words of love and blessing, he floated off the ground into the sky. Dave, don't be pulling that on us. You're going to freak everybody out if you do that. Ascending into heaven before their very eyes, and all they could do was worship him. Overwhelmed and ecstatic with joy, they made their way back to Jerusalem. I mean, they had to have so many questions. They've just seen him float into the sky. They really don't know what to expect. What is life going to look like now? You know, he gone. He said he's gone. He said, I'll be back in a few days. But days are different for us than they are for him, obviously. They had to feel some sadness at knowing they couldn't walk with him and talk with him and fish with him and sit around a campfire with him. Like, they had to feel that, and yet they were so confident in God and his plan that they were overwhelmed and ecstatic with joy. You have to see a mixture of grief and joy there. I don't think new beginnings diminish the before at all. In fact, I think new beginnings actually verify and validate what was. And it flies in the face of most of our thinking. But I think they had such confidence in God and his ability to give them and to make life what it needed to be that they just were like, well, there he goes. This is amazing. Let's go back to Jerusalem because he said so. The Holy Spirit is going to come on us. What's that going to look like? You know? Somebody here, I feel like, needs to know it's okay to have joy in a new beginning. You don't have to feel guilty for having joy in a new beginning. Doesn't diminish what was before at all. It's just a different chapter. It's just a different chapter. And I think we need permission sometimes to enjoy a new beginning, to have joy in a new beginning, even though we've grieved, even though we might still be grieving on some level. It's okay to have joy in a new beginning. And then point number three really pushes the limits of joy in my mind. Joy after suffering. In Acts 5, the apostles had been out preaching, even though they had been told not to preach. And so the city officials dragged them in, and this happened. So they brought the apostles back in and had them severely beaten. Okay, a beating by itself is not enough. It has to say severely beaten. We don't know what that looks like. They ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus and then let them go. The apostles left there rejoicing. That means full of joy, Niagara Falls joy. Rejoicing, thrilled that God had considered them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. I know, right? All you can do is shake your head. Because that does not compute up here at all. I would be, poor me. I don't think I've ever truly suffered for the name of Christ in my life. I don't think so. I've definitely never been severely beaten because I refused to stop talking about Jesus. And instead of whining and crawling away and saying, we'll never do that again, we learned our lesson. No, they left rejoicing that they were honored enough to be persecuted for Jesus. Like verse 42, and nothing stopped them. They kept preaching every day behind the bushes. No. They kept preaching every day in the underground church. No. They went right back to the temple courts and went from house to house. You're going to beat us for preaching publicly? We're going to preach publicly and go from house to house. First Jehovah Witnesses. But with truth. What a concept. Preaching the gospel of Jesus, God's anointed one. D.L. Moody says this about suffering, or about joy in suffering. He says, joy flows on, right on through trouble. Joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart. A secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. That's his quote. I didn't give this to the tech team, but the Bible has the word joy 333 times in the New Living Translation. It's probably there's some variation in other translations. Psalms alone has the word joy 97 times. And there's a whole bunch of Psalms of Lament, if you haven't noticed. And yet in the middle of that, there's the word joy 97 times. But I think my favorite verse about joy in the whole Bible out of 333 times comes from Romans 14:17. And just listen, we don't have it back there and it's fine. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but it is a realm of the Holy Spirit filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy is one third of the kingdom, based on Paul. One third of the kingdom. But remember, it's not that. It is this deep, abiding peace and confidence and gladness even that God knows what he's doing. He's smarter than I am. And even though things aren't going the way I want them to go, his plans are always better. That's what joy is. You can have joy while crying. They are not mutually exclusive at all. Because you can have that gladness, that deep delight even, that I don't have to understand this. I was stressing, this seems so small and kind of narcissistic. I'm sorry if you're finding out I'm human today, but what a shock, right? I was stressing this week because I had planned to go to South Carolina, leave tomorrow morning, and then come back next Monday. And any other time, it wouldn't be a problem for me to transition a different time or move it to a different time frame. But this time, for the first time maybe ever since the kids were in high school, Ethan is coming with me. But he bought an airline ticket Wednesday to fly down there to be with us. And then he's going to drive back with me on Monday. Took time off work. So I can't really adjust my schedule. And with Dave in the state that he's in, I'm like, I don't want to be gone if something happens. And I was really stressing about the time frame. Because I can't be in two places at once, but I didn't know. I finally just said to the Lord, Lord, you have always been perfect in your timing with me. I have this deep delight in looking back and seeing our history and seeing that you work out every detail according to your plan. So I'm leaving the timeline in your hands, right? So when I got the call from Dave yesterday at 7 and I got there and we met together, I said, after we talked and cried and said thanks to each other and all that, I said, okay, I have something small I want to mention to you guys right now. I said, I have a trip to South Carolina. I told them what I just told you about my trip. I said, any other time, I would just reschedule it. And they both were like, no, go. Just go. We want you to go. Dave goes, I'm being cremated. What's the big deal? He is hilarious. He was funny yesterday quite a few times. At one point, I was taking notes, and I had my favorite pen. It's a metal pen. And he goes, I have a confession to make, Sandy. And I go, what? No, you don't, because I know him. I'm like, you don't have a confession. What are you talking about? He goes, I'm coveting that pen right there. And I go, it's yours. I go, it is my favorite pen, but it's yours. He goes, no, you keep it. I was just kidding. But you see how God worked that out? I was able to talk to them and help them understand why I'm going tomorrow in the middle of this. And God's got it. He's got it. We don't know when Dave is graduating or when he's rising off that bed. We don't know. But we know God knows. God knew the day of his birth before he was born, and he knows the day of his graduation before it happens. He knows everything in between. You see what delight that brings in the middle of grief? Because we trust our God. That's how joy is one third of the kingdom. That's how. Righteousness and peace, that would be worth looking into as well, but that's another message. Last point, fourth point. Joy in heaven's treasures. In Hebrews 10, 32 through 35. Because here's the thing. I believe there are some things that happen that the only way you can have joy through them is by seeing the eternal picture. That's the only way. I told Dave yesterday, if this is your time, I hope you meet my dad. Because you guys would love each other. Like you see, you get that eternal perspective and it changes everything. So the writer of Hebrews, we're not sure who wrote it, but says this. Don't you remember those days right after the light shined in your hearts? You endured a great marathon season of suffering hardships, yet you stood your ground. And at times you were publicly and shamefully mistreated, being persecuted for your faith. And at other times you stood side by side with those who preach the message of hope. You sympathized with those in prison, and when all your belongings were confiscated, you accepted that violation with joy, convinced that you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. You see, the reason it's possible to make it through a season, a marathon season, he called it, of suffering and persecution and standing with people you care about who are suffering. The way you can make it through is by knowing that you have a treasure growing in heaven that can't be taken away, no matter what. Verse 35, so don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. So I had the message all planned and written, and probably, when did I send you the notes? Thursday? I think it was Thursday morning or afternoon. I can't remember. It's been a blur this week. When I came home Thursday, after visiting with Dave and things looking kind of bleak, I was actually in the middle of my devotions when I got that call Thursday morning that it was time to come down there. And so I said, oh, I'll do my devotions later. I'll finish them later. You know, this presence matters. What does Dave always say? Just show up. Just show up. So I was like, I'll show up. God can have understanding. So I came home to finish my devotions. And the verse that was in my regularly scheduled reading for the day was, and David completed his mission of witnessing, or I forget the words, to his generation. And then he died. What? What? And then Saturday, before I got the call, Callie Halligenthal, I think I said that right, she's the lady that lost her 2-year-old daughter, I don't know, 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, something like that. And it was tragic, and we prayed for her to be raised from the dead, and it was bad. Here's what she wrote on Saturday before I got the call from Dave. She said, joy is a wild thing. It's not an easy life or things going our way. Not the absence of sadness. That's happenstance happiness. It's wonderful, and I'll gladly take it when it comes. Joy is different. It takes grit and sweat, but mostly mercy. Joy that holds thankfulness out in front and focuses on it even as you hold the broken pieces alongside it. It's laughter through honest tears, both. It's company in the valley of the shadow. It's blessing those who hurt or mishandle because Jesus made it possible to forgive and be forgiven. Joy is remembering that the unseen is more real than what our eyes are taking in. It's confidence in the deep of you that one day, in the twinkling of an eye, this life will dissolve like vapor and it'll all be changed. And nothing and no one can challenge, steal, or threaten the inheritance of glory that awaits. Joy is knowing how it ends and pulling that into the now. Joy is not a season, it's a way of living. How kind is our God that he would have me read that went right with my message before I got the call from Dave, hey, Sandy, I think this is the day. Like, that's how you can have gladness and delight in the middle of pain. And believe me, we shed a lot of tears yesterday, Doug and Rhonda and I, and his family. And I'm still shedding tears. But there's something about knowing that this isn't the end. There's something about knowing that there's an eternity that's going to make up for all this. And it's actually going to seem so minuscule in comparison. It's joy. Oh, you switched it on me. Four. Thank you. There it is. Crank it up. It's joy after grief It's joy in new beginnings. It's joy after suffering. It's joy in heaven's treasures that just keeps on coming. It just keeps on coming. So what would you like today? A bottle of joy? Or a deep fountain inside of you that never stops flowing, even when we can't see it? And how do you find gladness in grief or in new beginnings or in suffering? It's by holding out the truth of the eternal in front of you and making that bigger here and here. It's a decision. You just hold it in front. And you don't pretend the other isn't there. Not at all. You know, I'm about authenticity. I'm about being real. But I'm also about letting my spirit dictate that I will have joy even though I'm having sadness. Letting my spirit be in charge. You people who are good at exercising, do you wait for your body to tell you it's time? No, you go out and make it happen, right? You tell your body what it's going to do, right? I know Megan does, garage fitness girl. I know that. Stephanie does, Carly does. I know that, right? They walk in crazy weather. I'm like, you guys are walking? What? That's how it is with the spirit. That's how it is. Your spirit tells yourself how it's going to be. Okay, yes, I'm hurting. Yes, God can hold me in my hurt. Yes, I can hide in the shadow of Shaddai. I can do that. But I can also hold out thankfulness and a view of the eternal that is bigger than that and that will last longer than that. That's how. It's not easy. There's nothing easy about it. It's painful. But it's worth it. And I found myself thinking that verse that said, the world knows nothing about this. I thought, they should see it in us. If joy is really one third of the kingdom, they should see it in us. They should go, what is different about that person? Because I need some of that. I need that. I need joy. I need righteousness and peace, but I need joy too. We should be, how much light did it take to light up the world after the eclipse? Not much. Not much. If we could be just that much, just that much, we could light up every dark place we go into. It would change. The landscape would change immediately every time we walk in somewhere because we're carrying a fountain of joy that comes from the inside. Let's pray. God, we bring both to you. We bring our hurting to you. We bring our pain to you. We bring our sadness, our confusion to you. But God, we refuse to let that be bigger than our joy, than our delight. That you know what you're doing and you can work every single detail out for your good and for our good at the same time and for the good of the world in which we live. And so we hold that gratitude and that joy out and we make it as big in our minds as Niagara Falls. And we see it that way. And we know that your spirit makes that possible. So God, for anyone in the room right now who's maybe had a bottle of joy or a water or a cup of joy, but they really see that they want to carry the joy that you provide for us because it's one third of your kingdom, I pray that you would fill them up with your joy today. And it may not look like laughter. It may, but it may not. It may just look like sheer delight that you know what you're doing and that your plan is always better And rather than telling you what to do, we look to you to tell us what to do. Fill us up, I pray. All of us, we all need it. And God, again, we just bring Dave and his family to you, and we ask you to fill them up also with that joy, that delight, that gladness that comes from a peace in knowing that your plan is always the best. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you guys are amazing as a church family. The new ones and the ones who've been around for a while, I love you guys so much. And you are a pleasure to pastor. You're a joy to pastor. You really are. And I'm thankful for you. So next week, somebody will be continuing AD. Dave was on the schedule. We were hoping he could preach next week as he was scheduled. But I basically told Doug and Rhonda and Ron, I said, listen, can y'all work it out? Take it off my plate. Because I had mentioned the possibility of just doing a day of worship next week, which I always love when they do that. So they may do that, or they may do some hybrid combination of testimonies and worship, or they might do, Ron might speak. Just come next week to find out what's going to happen. How about that? Come next week and they'll tell you what's going to happen. Just show up. Just show up. In honor of Dave. Just show up. Yeah, exactly. And he decided yesterday was his day, but God said, not yet. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. But did I tell you he did decide to go into hospice? Did I tell you that? Okay, yeah. So I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's going to be still at the VA where he's been, or if they're going to move him to a different location or to home. Every hospice situation is different. So we'll keep you posted communication-wise regarding that. And keep him in your prayers. If you think to send Judy or he a card or a note, I'm sure it would be very appreciated. Try not to overwhelm them. They're overwhelmed right now with a lot. And so just love on them. Ask God, how can I love on them right now? And do that, okay? We have chats, coffee, and bagels coming up. Hang out and visit. Puzzling back there. Rich is already ready to work on it. Oh, no. That was just a seat for today, okay? So enjoy hanging out and visiting with each other. Try to talk to someone you haven't ever talked to before or haven't talked to in a while. Like, make a different connection. It's so easy for us to get in our little comfort zones. Try to connect with somebody different today. Thanks, guys.